come from Luke. Matthew, excuse me. Wait, is that right? Yeah, Matthew. Matthew 5. No, that's not right. Luke 5. No, I know what I'm talking about. Luke 5. I knew what I was talking about. Luke 5. That should be Luke. Same chapters and verses. Should be Luke. Know what I'm talking about. Luke 5. Oh, another brief announcement. Of course, last weekend, I was not here. The young adults went to North Carolina, had an amazing time. I have to thank every single one of you for being supportive of that. We are fired up and inspired. I can tell you this right now. That was something amazing. I wish I could have took everyone with us and just saw what was going on. And I may bring that up later on in the sermon this morning. But it was a powerful experience, just an empowering experience. And thank everyone for allowing that to happen and supporting us in that endeavor. This morning we'll be talking about preparing for the vision. Preparing for the vision. Now last time I was speaking, we talked about the vision and following God's vision as you follow the man of God, right? And also being able to acknowledge and understand and be able to recognize what God's vision is, or at least be able to recognize who he gave it to, right? And there's something about the man of God that has the vision of God that you can tell he's been with God, right? Remember that you need to go up, and all of us should be going up, right? But there's something about when you see this picture of people going on to the top of the mountain to talk to God and coming back down, when you know you've been and spent time with God, when you come down, people know that you've been up, right? Y'all remember that? And we need to be able to know the difference, because there's a lot of people claiming they've been up and they just been around. Amen. They ain't been nowhere. They ain't been with God. They been somewhere, but they ain't been with God. And we need to be able to distinguish and know the difference. But once you realize who that person is, once you realize that this is the man of God, he has been called and anointed by God to do his will, what do you do then? When God gives a man of God with vision, when God gives his workmanship vision, there's some things that comes with that. He's not going to have a vision to say, oh, that was nice. I think that was just a nice dream, if you will, or a nice thought, and leave it at that. No, there needs to be some action behind it. We talked about faith in action, right? And there needs to be some action behind it. Now, when you have a vision and you want to get something done, there's more than just going out and do it needs to happen, right? There needs to be some preparation. You need to be ready. You need to know what you're about to do. Brother Mike and Sister Sharon know that when they're throwing something, they just can't show up that day and say, hey, it's harvest day. There's some preparation. Amen. There's some preparation that goes before that. If you want to know about preparation, ask them. There's a lot that goes into making something like that happen. There needs to be some preparation. So somebody with a vision has to be able to prepare what's going on. Now, everyone doesn't have, I'm sorry I'm using you guys so much, but not everyone understands and has their vision. I'm going to say that again. Not everyone understands and has that vision. They know what God has put on their heart to do. But just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not what they're supposed to be doing. And sometimes if you show up to one, you realize, oh, this is what she was saying. This is why she wanted me to bring chips. I didn't understand why she wanted me to bring chips. I didn't understand why she wanted me to bring popcorn. Because she has the vision. Understand? I know that's, follow along with me. So there's some things that need to happen when you have, when the man of God or the person that is given the vision, there's some preparation that has to happen, right? And I put up there, help the cause. I talked about when my father was moving. And as a child, sometimes I would watch, and sometimes I'll be in the way, not doing anything, just standing there. But I was in the way and hindering or stopping, halting progress. Sometimes our lack of participation in the preparation can stagnate the progress, can stagnate the church. So sometimes, yes, I'm not saying anything, I'm not doing anything, they shouldn't have a problem with it. Sometimes that can cause a problem too. Because people see you not doing anything, they're going to sit by, well, brother so-and-so's not doing anything, sister so-and-so's not doing anything, why should I? So we need to be a helpful hand in the vision as well. All right? Y'all hang with me. Anticipation. When there's preparation, there's some things that come up. Anticipation and expectation. There's a slight difference. There's a slight difference. But there needs to be some anticipation and some expectation. Say anticipation. When you anticipate something, that causes a reaction, but not necessarily the reaction that you would have in expectation. What do you mean by that, brother? Well, I'm going to tell you. Listen, if my wife came up to me this Sunday and said, baby, I got orders. We're moving to Germany. We have a month to leave. Anticipation says, yes, we're moving to Germany. Mark it on the calendar and everything else, right? If my wife comes to me and says, hey, I'm pregnant. Anticipation says, oh, my goodness. Right? That's anticipation. Say anticipation for me. That's anticipation, all right? Expectation says that, baby, we're moving to Germany. Oh, my goodness. Okay, great. We're moving to Germany. I need to finish school. I need to get a U-Haul. I need to pack up everything. That's expectation because we're supposed to be moving. So I need to get this house packed. I need to figure out what's going on. I need to close out any outstanding things that I got still hanging around in Dover because we're getting ready to move. Expectation, if my wife's pregnant, she is expecting. That means that I need to make some plans, right? So if my wife is expecting, that means the beautiful cherry Jag that I have sitting outside, the two-seater car needs to go. Why? Because Brother Pacheri is shaking his head, no, they don't got to go nowhere. It got to go. Why? Because we are expecting something. There's some things that's going to happen because what? What? We're expecting a child. There's going to be some diapers bought, right? There's going to be some planning in the house. This extra spare bedroom ain't spare no more. It's not extra no more. Mom and dad gonna have to get the blow-up mattress. Oh, y'all ain't like that. Oh, well, look, I slept on the floor all my life. Look at here. We had a lot of kids at my grandma's house. They understand. They love us. They understand. I love you, Mama. This is recorded, right? I love you, Mama. So, so there's some things that when you're expecting needs to happen, right? As preparation. Say expectation. Expectation, all right. So we following with that, right? So let's go into the text. Luke 5. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your net. Let down your nets, excuse me. Let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they have done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. So also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So when they had brought the boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him. Now let's break this down. I'm going to try to be quick, but I can't promise that. Y'all going to hang with me, right? I heard a couple of amens today. All right. Amen. We're gonna run through this. Luke, let's run through this real quick. So he says that Luke records that Jesus was by the lake and he saw two boats, and the fishermen were cleaning their nets. Right? They were cleaning the nets, and he's talking to the multitude, so it's not just Jesus. So there's people there. There's people there. And so Jesus talks to them, and Simon Peter is still cleaning his nets. And so when he gets done speaking, he finally tell Simon to do something. Well, he told him to do something earlier. He told him to push him out there a little bit. So he calls him again. Says, "Simon, go out there into the deep and drop your nets down for a catch." Now, I can imagine how Simon Peter and the rest of his crew was feeling. Now, we've been out here all morning, fishing, sweating, getting musty, looking at each other, cleaning, then come out from a disappointing venture. Got to clean all my nets. If you ever seen these kind of nets, these nets are very, I don't want to say thin, but they're easily tangled. You got to keep these things together. If you think a water hose is bad, try to keep this net together. And it catches a lot. Catches a lot. So there's all kinds of trash and everything in there. They're cleaning this out. And so first, I want you to notice that Simon Peter and Jesus, this is not, I can imagine just based off what I've studied, they've had some type of relationship in the past. He knows Simon Peter by name. Not only that, but Simon Peter lets him use his boat. Now, if I don't know nobody and my livelihood is in the boat, you're not getting in my boat. Let me bring that 21st century. If my livelihood is driving a car and you need to borrow it, guess what? If I don't know you, good luck. Kick rocks. You're not driving my car. My insurance don't cover that. You're not driving it. So it seems to me that there's some type of relationship there. There's something there. And so he's speaking to the multitude, and Simon Peter is barely looking up. He's cleaning his nets and everything else. And the tragedy in this is that he's missing the message. He's missing the message. That happens. Can we talk? That happens sometimes in the church, don't it? Let me help you out. Not too long ago, we was preaching on love. I know everyone got sick of that. They was just, every Sunday for 2 months, something else. It's just a big love fest. Get off of love. Let me learn about faith. And then we got on faith. Do something else. After a while, these messages get old, right? I've heard this before. I understand this. I get it. So Jesus is preaching this stuff again. And, oh, goodness. Let's clean out these nets. He's up to it again. He's talking the same stuff again. And so they miss the message. They miss the message. Because they're busy doing something else. They miss the message. How often do we get caught up doing something else? Whether it's dealing with, communion trays, or I don't know, what else is there to do around the church? There's a lot of stuff to do. But we get caught up doing those administrative things, and we miss the whole purpose that we come here. We miss the message. You miss the word of God that's being preached. And so you see that Peter misses the message. So after he finished talking, Jesus calls him. He says, Simon, get your nets, go out into the deep, and cast them down. Now, I can only imagine Simon Peter's feeling like, okay, Lord, you're using my boat. You ain't come out here to help. And now you're telling me that the nets I just cleaned, we just got finished cleaning, to go out there and cast them out. Ain't nobody got time doing that. I just got finished cleaning. I'm disappointed. There's nothing out there. I'm not going back out there. But at your word, Lord, since, you know, I don't want to make you in front of this multitude. That's another sign that makes you feel like they have some type of relationship. He says, Master, at your word. I'm going to do what you said. So he grabs a net. Now some translation says he grabs nets. But we'll see, in either case, it wasn't sufficient. So he grabs a net. He grabs a net, goes out in his poor little rinkety boat, throws it out there. Like, I'm doing this for you, Lord. Like, there's nothing out here. And you better help me clean these nets afterwards. But I'm going to do it. Since you got a crowd of people, I'm going to do it. No expectation, no anticipation at all. He's not anticipating catching anything. Why? Because I've done this before. I've been out here before. I don't plan on catching nothing. I don't expect to catch anything. So I'm not going to grab all my nets. I'm not going to send all my boats out there either. I'm not expecting to catch anything. They missed it the first time. So Jesus sends them out there in the deep. Say, okay, good buddy, since you don't want to listen, go out there and figure it out yourself. So they go out there, and they throw the nets down. New King James Version says, throw down his net. No, lets the net down. And they caught a great number of fish, so much that the net started to break. The expectation wasn't there. Let me help you out with this. When we talk about expanding, when we talk about evangelism, when we talk about spreading the word and building the kingdom, those are buzzwords and phrases that we use all the time. But how do we expect to catch the fish and keep the fish if we don't have the capacity to do it? What do you mean by that? I'm going to tell you. We want to have families come in. Can we talk? We want to have families come in, but their children aren't being ministered to sufficiently. Or we want to have young adults come in. They don't see where they fit in. We want to minister to the elder folk, the more mature saints, if you will. But we don't have sufficient rides and different things like that to get them back and forth, to get them what they need to do. We got one net. Hoping that it'll fit, works. Hoping that it fits everything. Okay, I guess I'm getting. So there's some expectation that needs to happen. When God says something, we need to be ready for it. They weren't ready. So much so they had to, he's like, look, I wasn't expecting all this fish. So guess what? Come on, fellas. Let me show you. Come on, fellas, let's go. Get your nets. Come out here and help us out. The nets are breaking. So he has them. He brings everything he has to make sure that the catch that Jesus said is out there gets caught. Sometimes we have stepping. I'm getting ahead of myself. So you need to be ready. When God puts the vision to go out there and do something, you need to be ready, and you need all hands on deck. We don't need to be seeing how much we can afford to do and think about doing and what, checking the schedule and everything. Well, you know, maybe Friday, because next Friday I don't have my piano recital, and my daughter, she's not in karate and different things like that. So Friday works for me. God put a vision out there to be worked. All hands on deck. All right. We have to be ready. We have to be willing to do what needs to be done. And so when you are preparing for something, you need to think about capacity. If you're having a banquet, wedding, anything like that, and you go to the caterer, why? Because the caterer should be able to do and handle the workload of your banquet. feed everyone, make sure everyone gets fed, cook out all the food, all that stuff. If you go to the caterer and you say, hey, I got a banquet happening, about 500 people. I need a variety of menus, chicken, beef, what they usually do, chicken, beef, fish, something like that. I need that for my banquet. And the caterer turns around and says, okay, how much food do you think that will be? You're not doing your job. If you're the caterer and you asking me how much food we need, what I need you for? That's how some folks sitting around, well, you know, Lord, we supposed to be ministering to these people out here. How you figure we do that? That's your job. That's why you here. Figure it out. And sometimes it's just about doing it. Nike said, just do it. Because sometimes that's the hardest part. When me and Billy was working out, the hardest part about working out was getting up 4 o'clock in the morning to go work out. When I got up in the morning, I thought of every single reason why I should not make this drive in 4 o'clock in the morning to go work out. But we got to just do it, folks. Simple as that. And when we do, we've seen how the expectation should be high. We've seen how God is going to bless what we have been called to do. Now we see that there's so many fish coming in. So many fish coming in that the nets are breaking. He called everyone out. He called his whole crew. Hey, come get this fish. If they break, we lose the money. We need to get these fish on board. They get them on board and the boat's trying to sink. Boat's trying to sink on them. We need to have some expectation. Now, if that's the fruit production, if you will, that doing what God has asked us to do is going to produce, what do we need to be preparing for? He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. This one says, now you will go and will catch men instead of fish. So if we're supposed to be going out there, if that's our call, and we see that, hope y'all seeing this, and we see that Peter was out there with no expectation, no anticipation, and we see how strainful and strenuous that was, how stressful that was, what do we need to do when we say we're going out fishing for men? We need to bring all the nets. We need to prepare. We need to be ready. We can't wait till they get here. Because one net not going to do it. It's just not going to happen. There used to be a saying out there, say, if you build it, they will come. Y'all remember that? Well, we want to attract more college folk. We got 3 colleges in the area. Well, what do you have going for them? Why should they come here? You don't have a net out there for them. All right. So I'm closing. If we're expected to be fishers of men and women, if we're expected to be fishers of men, we cannot half step. We just cannot do it. We need to be able to sufficiently meet the needs of those who walk into these doors. Somebody needs the ride to get to church. The last thing that should be a hindrance for them to come here is a ride. hope y'all hearing me. The last thing that should be a hindrance for them to get here is because they don't have transportation. We have to have all hands on deck. We need to have some expectation. We need to be ready. We can no longer half step. And we see later on in the scripture that they finally get it. They finally get it. And when they were still kind of half stepping, fishing and listening, now they forsake everything, dropped everything, and they follow in Christ. They doing all they're supposed to do. This is their full dedication now. They finally got it. This is what I'm called to do. This is the vision God has given. I need to be ready to give all I am to it. So we have to be ready. We have to anticipate and expect for the blessings that God has in store for us. We cannot ignore the vision that God has for us. And sometimes all we have to do is just do it. We do need to prepare. I'm not saying just go out there willy-nilly with one net. We need to prepare, but we need to do it. Get the stuff ready and make it happen. The man of God will be able to give you that vision if you can't see it for yourself. Because God doesn't make any plans without some preparation first. I said once before that even when God made man, he didn't make him and figure out, well, where you going to live at? What you going to eat? What you going to drink? He had all that in place first. Same thing with us. Everything's prepared. Everything's ready. And when I say ready, it may not be set up, but we have everyone in here that we need to be successful. Every one of you in here is a vital part of this church's success. We just need to use you. We just need you to be ready. We just need you to be a net. All right, I'm done. If you want to be a part of this preparation team, if you will, if you haven't already obeyed the gospel, we need you to do that. You've heard the word. Now all you have to do is believe it, repent, confess his holy and mighty name, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then you'll be ready to be a net with the rest of us, being fishers of men. That's the vision. That's the call. We need to be ready. All right? So as we come to sing the last song of invitation, I ask that you think seriously about preparing. What do we need to do so that when people come into these doors, they have nowhere else to go? It's a one-stop shop. Y'all know Walmart did a very good job with that. One-stop shop. They don't need to go anywhere else for what they need. Let's make that happen. Let's think about that seriously and make that happen as we stand and sing.